This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest Robert Sullivan has written a book about his adventures exploring the place that was once the largest garbage dump in the world, the place he describes as the nation's eyesore. That place is the Meadowlands in New Jersey, just across the Hudson River from Manhattan's skyline. It's a 32-square-mile swamp. Because it's a problematic site to build on, it became a dumping ground for every kind of personal and industrial waste. Since 1968, the state has been trying to clean up and develop the Meadowlands. It's now the site of a large sports and entertainment complex that includes Giant Stadium, and the Turnpike runs through it. But there's still plenty of swamp and plenty of garbage for Sullivan to explore. Robert Sullivan is a travel writer and humorist. His new book is called Meadowlands: Wilderness Adventures at the Edge of a City. I asked him why he wrote a travel book about the Meadowlands.
I'm one of those kind of people who is always looking out the window of the train and looking at the garbage alongside the tracks and wondering about, you know, houses that are burned down or falling down, wondering what was in there. And this is really what the Meadowlands is, the capital of that kind of stuff. It's the land of what the heck could that be, you know. So as I was living around there, and you know, I was a newspaper reporter sort of in the area, I'd get sort of tantalizingly close to the center, to the actual Meadowlands, but I'd never get into it, and I would sort of hear stories about it, what it was, but it was, you know, I never really felt like I knew the Meadowlands. Then I moved away. I moved to the West Coast. My wife's from Portland, Oregon, so I moved to Portland, Oregon. And, you know, when you move to Portland, what I did was I sort of immersed myself in the, you know, Lewis and Clark literature and the Oregon Trail literature and all these travel journals about going out to Oregon. And so when I started thinking about, you know, explorations and when I started hiking in mountains in Oregon, I thought, well, you know, everybody's going up on the Olympic Peninsula. Everybody's going to look for some place that nobody's been to. But what if you take all those, you know, your skills and your gear and you apply it to some place where, you know, nobody's ever gone? I thought, I'll go to the Meadowlands. There won't be any competition with other travel exploration explorer type
people.
Sure. And, you know, I'll just be able to, I'll go out there and I'll do a full reconnaissance. I'll really find out what's out there. And then I bought the maps, and that was it. Once I got the U.S., you know, Geological Survey maps, that was it, because they have all these symbols that I couldn't even figure out what they were until I went out to each symbol on the map to see what it was. So,
now, since you decided to do a kind of Lewis and Clark thing through the Meadowlands, you got a canoe and actually canoed your way around the wetter parts to, like a little island in the swamp?
Well, there was one. We sort of had two goals for our two main expeditions. I hiked and canoed a lot with my friend Dave Deal, for the record, and he is the great. He's a relative of Meriwether Lewis, and as I say in the book, nobody's really sure what that relationship is except for his mom. So you'd have to talk to her. But anyway, we had sort of two expeditions in mind. And one was to go across the Meadowlands, which as far as we knew, nobody had ever done. And there were all these highways and water pipes, and we didn't know if we could do it. The other one was, the other goal was to go to this place on the map called Walden Swamp, which looked to be an island, or we didn't know what it was. So just wanted to get there, to Walden Swamp.
Well, I'd like you to read an excerpt from your book that gives us a sense of what it was like when you were in your canoe.
Okay.
Paddling around through the Meadowlands. And this is Robert Sullivan reading from his new book, Meadowlands.
Using our compass and the power lines to guide us, we canoed more, portaged again, came to a patch of land marked as water on our maps, and then crossed an abandoned railroad track, at which time it was close to noon. We were beginning to think that we had arrived on the eastern edge of the Kearney Marsh, which meant that we had another mile to go on our trip. However, our maps were proving not terribly accurate with regard to navigable water routes. Around us, there were green hills of grass-covered garbage dumps. We saw more carp, more muskrats, mudflats covered with sandpipers, and the frozen in time remains of a snapping turtle that appeared to have been decapitated by a train just as it had crawled up out of the marsh. We also saw a thermos, three unopened cans of Pepsi, a beach chair sitting on another island, and a Seven Seas red wine vinegar salad dressing spill. Passing over more underwater fences, we felt as if we were paddling just above Atlantis. At precisely 1 hour and 52 minutes into the trip, we saw our first abandoned appliance, a refrigerator. The low point of the expedition came when we found ourselves in a shallow, sewer-like creek, the bottom of which was completely covered with garbage. It was disgusting, to say the least. It was a hidden berm of trash, a refuse-strewn Sargasso Sea, and as we paddled, huge chunks of ripe debris rose up, as if from a field of underwater cabbage, a foul borscht. The smell was unbearable, and we paddled carefully.
Boy, does that sound unpleasant, but fun.
It was fun, and it was unpleasant, and shortly after, and it was nauseous, too, I think is a word that I could use. And shortly after that berm, we came to this, I don't know, this little spit of land that we were able to cross over and get back into, you know, refreshingly murky water that was just sort of normally polluted. And so that was a real relief.
You write that in the Meadowlands, there's many hills, and some of them are natural hills, but most of them are garbage hills. What's in the garbage hills?
Well, just about, I mean, there's only really one or two hills that aren't garbage hills, but garbage is in the garbage hills, you know, garbage that's composting, that's packing in, and you know, they have these natural streams of, I call it garbage juice, that pours out of them, but the garbage industry's term is leachate. And so there's a lot of water in the garbage hills, and the water turns into this garbage juice. And so around them you see these puddles of really gross, disgusting, warm, bluish, caramel-colored, Coca-Cola-colored stuff.
Now, is the garbage in these garbage hills legit garbage, garbage that people are legally dumping there?
There's a lot of legitimate garbage in the Meadowlands. A lot of the hills are legitimate garbage hills, I guess you'd say. But a lot of the hills, I don't know if the hills are all illegitimate garbage, but there are spots where, you know, people dumped stuff they weren't supposed to dump. In fact, I mean, people would just toss just barrels of chemicals, you know, into the Meadowlands. I mean, just anything and everything. I would often interview people about, try to find out exactly what was in a particular site or in a particular dump, and guys would say to me over and over, anything you can think of, that's what's in there.
Now, you mentioned that garbage juice called leachate. Is this the what you mean when you say that sometimes these areas have to be drained manually, almost like using a colostomy bag for the garbage hill?
I guess what they're trying to do to sort of solve the problem of giant garbage hills that leak garbage juice into our water stream is they build these sort of clay dikes around them, and they either put it into a pipe that'll go into a sewage system, that'll go into a sewage treatment plant, or they have to go up and manually take it out with a truck. And in the book, I talk about a sort of a problem they had at one point where the truck came up and sucked out the garbage juice. So it's a big, like, gas truck-sized truck filled with garbage juice. And I guess the guy, as it was told to me, who was driving the truck, the guy thought that he could pump the garbage juice into the city's sewer system faster, save a little time, if you just increase the pressure. And it sort of worked okay, except that a lot of the people in the area of the manhole cover that he was pumping into, their toilets all sort of swelled with this leachate.
Hmm. It's a wonderful story that you've brought back.
So you might want to put a PG grossness rating on it.
What kind of wildlife did you find in your trips through the Meadowlands?
Well, we saw a lot of the standard wildlife, egrets and herons, and I'm sure it was just me, but they looked about as nervous as I was to be out there. But we also saw life that was wild. There were a lot of balloons, like party balloons out there, like Mylar balloons. And at one point, I remember we thought that maybe it was like a wild balloon sanctuary, you know, refuge. And all the birthday party balloons from Manhattan flew over to the Meadowlands and made a new life over there. But we also saw and this would tend to be at the end of a canoe trip or an exploration. We saw sort of, you know, ducks that were modeled in a way that made me nervous that they had sort of genetically, you know, hybrided from normal ducks into Meadowlands ducks. This is on a particularly toxic creek that's known for mercury and a lot of pollutants. But then on another trip, I saw a giant muskrat slash dog slash bear. I want to say bear. And it was really scary. Although my friend Dave said it wasn't such a big deal and he would have gone on if I hadn't made him yank the canoe out of the creek.
Do you know what this animal was?
No, I don't know what that animal was. I found out that the duck was, I think it was a Muscovy duck, and it was from South America. And a family there, a Muslim family, was raising them, I think for food. And then I never found out what the giant muskrat slash bear slash dog slash anything else was, but it was probably giant muskrat. But the side of the creek said danger. It said danger, caution. There were signs all along the creek. And when I saw that animal with those signs, I got a little panicked. And Dave wants to go back and try to finish that part of the trip. But my wife says if I do, then we can't have any more children.
Oh, was she? Because she's afraid of...
Concerned for, you know, how it'll affect my
genetics.
Physiology.
Yeah. My guest is Robert Sullivan, author of the new book, The Meadowlands. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Robert Sullivan, author of The Meadowlands, Wilderness Adventures at the Edge of a City. Now, there's a lot of mythology surrounding the Meadowlands, and perhaps the most famous part of the mythology is that Jimmy Hoffa is reputed to be buried there.
Yes, reputed is one of the reasons you want to write anything at all about the mob, because you get to say and type the word reputed. And that was when I first started doing this. I would say, oh, I'm going to write a book about the Meadowlands. I'm doing a project on the Meadowlands. And people would say either, oh, you mean the Meadowlands where the Giants play? Oh, yeah. Oh, what's the book? You know, and I say, no, I'm not going to do it with the Giants. I'm going to do everything else but the Meadowlands Arena. But the other thing that they'd say is, oh, you mean where they buried Jimmy Hoffa? And I'd say, yeah, that's right. And at first I was a little annoyed at that because there's a lot more to the Meadowlands than the myth of Jimmy Hoffa. But then it became clear that I would have to address the reputed burial of Jimmy Hoffa in the Meadowlands. And after a while, we started thinking we ought to see where he was buried. And then, well, we thought we might as well give it a shot, try to dig there. I didn't know what we would do if we found Jimmy Hoffa. That would sort of be a problem, I suppose.
Where did you decide to dig for Jimmy Hoffa in the Meadowlands?
There were a couple of sites we looked at for digging for Jimmy Hoffa in the Meadowlands. And one of them was the Giants end zone, of course, because everybody says, oh, he's buried in the Giants end zone. Well, and I guess that's because some of the people associated with people who were associated with the building of the Meadowlands, the word reputed was hanging around them. And so people thought, oh, well, maybe the mob somehow got it into the construction site. But I tackled that. First of all, that was difficult. It would have been difficult to get permission to dig in the end zone. But I felt that was covered because I met a guy who videotaped. He was like an early videotaper. And he videotaped the construction of Giant Stadium, like frame by frame. So I always thought that I could just go to him and get the tape and review it if need be. But we settled on a site called the PJP Landfill, Brother Moscato's Dump. And it's this dump that's sort of its, you know, AKA. It's this dump that's underneath the Pulaski Skyway, which is this beautiful old bridge, black snake-like bridge that goes across the Meadowlands. And that dump, the FBI, like, watched that dump. The state police guarded that dump when they were looking for Jimmy Hoffa. And everybody seemed to think, it was my reading of the papers, that he was in that dump, or at least some of his associates were. And but in the end, they never did dig in it. And I guess one of the reasons was they feared for the safety of the state police. It was like the FBI said, oh, you dig for it. And then the state police was like, oh, no, you dig for it, or at least that's how I read it. So we decided on Brother Moscato's dump, and, you know, we got some shovels, and first we had to find it. It was so hard to get in it through fences and highways. But then when we got there, it was surrounded by a moat of garbage juice, kind of leachate moat. And it looked really difficult. And so I went through the state and I signed permits and releases, and they gave me a tour of the site, which I sort of just sat there and tried to channel and see if he was there, in fact. And it felt good. It felt likely.
There are a lot of myths about things that are buried in the Meadowlands, including Jimmy Hoffa. But you found out from actually a newspaper article that the columns from the old Penn Station in Manhattan were buried in the Meadowlands, and you figured you should go try to unearth them. How did you do?
Well, Penn Station was digging for Penn Station, or finding Penn Station, was like a consolation prize for us. If you can't get Jimmy Hoffa, maybe you can get Penn Station. And so I went with pictures from the 60s of the old Penn Station being dumped in the Meadowlands, and I went around all the towns. And a lot of people didn't believe me at first, or they thought maybe I'd made up the photo. But after a while, I found a couple of people, the retired mayor of Secaucus and various dump owners who helped me, and we sort of pinpointed a site and triangulated with the old photos and just dug.
What'd you find?
Well, we found tons of stuff. You dig in the Meadowlands,
oh, yeah,
and you just pull up stuff. You pull up like huge wires and cables and glass, and I've got a creamer at home that we use. It must be for an old hotel in New York, because they would take all the hotel garbage in from the Plaza Hotel into the Meadowlands and dump in the Meadowlands. But we found pieces of buildings that had dates that were sort of similar to the dates of Penn Station, but we didn't really know. And you know, when you're digging in the Meadowlands, if you ever are digging in the Meadowlands for Penn Station, you will find that everything starts to look like Penn Station, and everything becomes, you know, possibly Penn Station. But after a while, I was just walking down the street or driving around, and I ran into a guy who said, "Oh yeah, I remember where they buried Penn Station. It's over there in that lot." And so I just kind of went back into this lot in this trucking yard, and there were huge pieces of the columns, you know, these Roman replicas just lying there and you know, sort of partly buried, but I chipped off a piece of it, brought it home.
God, it's like finding gold.
It was really like finding gold. And I stare at the rock all the time. I have it here with me today. I stare at the rock all the time and look at it and think about Penn Station and about the moment in the future, many, you know, hundreds of years from now, when someone will be digging in the Meadowlands, hopefully an archaeologist, and they'll come upon this huge train station. They'll say, "This was the center of a great civilization. This was the great center of a city." And then somebody will say, "Oh no, it was a dump." And they'll say, "Oh yeah, you're right."
So show me what you brought here.
I got the piece of Penn Station here. It's just, there it is. It's a piece of Penn Station.
Okay, what I'm looking at is, it looks to me like a piece of rock.
It's not just rock. It's Penn Station. It's the bottom. It takes a long time to chip off these, you know, marble columns.
So this is a big chip from one of the marble columns.
It's a big chip. I had more, but I sent it out to friends.
Well, I'm glad for the chance to have seen it. It's mighty impressive. The Meadowlands now is something between the marshland that it was naturally and the garbage dump that it became, and now the state is trying to clean it up and to figure out a plan for it. So what do we have now? It's like neither one nor the other.
Right. It's and that's what's most intriguing for me about the Meadowlands, is that it's this third party. It's like a dialectic that's happened, and there's this new synthesis, this new kind of land. And so you see like a fallen down factory with reeds all around it and in it, and you say, "What is that? Is that beautiful?" And I think it is beautiful. But do you save a fallen down factory? I don't know, but it's for me, it's really beautiful.
So it raises a lot of new interesting questions for you.
It raises interesting questions, and you know, and here's an area where people definitely ruined it. And so one of the big controversies in the Meadowlands is, how far do we go to fix it? How much work do we put into fixing it? Or do we just let it be?
Is the ruin itself interesting enough
yeah.
to save as a kind of relic of an era.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
way we ruined a certain kind of land in a certain era.
Yeah, well, there's one part of the Meadowlands that's there's very little reed and swamp left at all, and it's kind of a spit down in the bottom right near Newark Bay, and that's there's a lot of old factories that are falling down there. I'm sure they're remediation sites, you know, for hazardous waste. But it's not quite haunted when you drive around there, but it's like an old Western mining town that'd be preserved, except that it's factories in New Jersey.
Is there like a favorite image that you've taken away with you from the Meadowlands?
Well,
just like a mind picture that just kind of sums it up for you.
I guess crawling out or canoeing out or hiking out to one of these sites, like a fallen radio tower, are going out to the radio towers, and then realizing you're surrounded by reeds, and it seems so quiet, but then you look up and all of a sudden you're being attacked by a huge FedEx plane landing at Newark Airport. So that's the kind of thing that I remember about the Meadowlands.
Robert Sullivan, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Robert Sullivan's new book is called The Meadowlands: Wilderness Adventures at the Edge of a City. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.